Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a being of wealth and taste. I've been around a long, long time. And I have stolen many a man's soul and faith. Pleased to meet you. I hope you know my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I'm actually quite happy to see you here. I often just walk around and see what's going on, you know, just to get in the way and cause some mayhem. In fact, I would love to help you with whatever it is you're doing today. All you have to do is ask, and I'll be right there. Oh, how rude of me. I have not yet introduced myself. I am known by many names. At one time, I was the highest ranking angel in all of heaven. Until God became confused over a single misunderstanding. You see, for power to be appreciated by others, it must be shared with everyone. It's not good for one person to make all the rules. Anyways, rules? They're just meant to be broken. It's never good to have the same person holding all the power, even if he is the creator of everything. But that's another story. Back to the task at hand. I am known as Lucifer. I have been called Satan, the angel of darkness, the devil himself. And it is surely with a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I am sure you have a million questions. And I'm sure that one of them is, what am I doing here? Well, I'm here to tell you that I hate this time of year. I hate it, despise it, wish it never, ever happened. Admittedly, over the last few hundred years, I have certainly been seeing some progress in the beginning, and I'm beginning to sort of like it, but not much. But people like you keep reminding others that this season is all about something other than what I want it to be about. And that makes this the most awful time of year. It's that baby. All he did was cause more problems for me. His birth made life more complicated. He made life more difficult for me. You see, it all started after the victory of the Garden of Eden. A decisive victory for mankind, if you ask me. Just one step closer for me becoming God, the object of worship. That is when I first heard the Lord Almighty. He began this foolish talk about Messiah. Salvation, personal relationship with God. From that day onward, I have worked proving to God that mankind could not possibly keep a strict set of rules and regulations. I help them break them all the time. I try to help man do as he pleases. God just has to put his holiness, his righteousness, his justice aside and accept man without any conditions. That's what he really needs to do. And if he couldn't, then, well, I offered him my services to become the supreme being of the universe. He didn't like that. He could step down. I would be willing to take over. Man could do whatever you wanted to do, and I would accept you for everything that you do. I would be okay with it. No rules, no conditions, except for one. Each of them must bow down and worship me as God, the Supreme Being, and even the Creator. Yes, I know that I'm not the Creator, but what's one little white lie? After all, I am worthy of praise. I am far more intelligent than God, but God just doesn't see it that way. Anyways, back to the whole annoying season and why I can't stand it. One of my oldest and what used to be dearest and good friend, Gabriel, he was sent out by God to make an announcement to Mary, a peasant girl who was to give birth to God's son. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Really? Come on. As typical with the angels, they tend to scare people when they show up. And that's exactly what Gabriel did. But he kept talking, just like Gabriel does. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Bah humbug. If I had anything to say about it, this so-called kingdom would come to an end, and sooner the better. I just knew that this baby, he was going to be a problem. Oh yeah, he was going to be a problem. Lots of problems. Can you believe? Like seriously, a peasant giving birth to God's son? If it were me, it would have been a powerful ruler of the world that would give birth to my son. But a plain old, simple, ordinary lowlife giving birth to the Son of God, all because she found favor with God? Like, what favor did she find? Seriously, she's just a little peasant girl. Who cares? Goody two-shoes, following all the rules and regulations that God set up. Oh, well. I knew that this baby was going to be trouble, and I had to do whatever I could to not let this happen. But then I thought, this could actually work to my advantage. All I have to do is convince the town that she is an adulteress. I mean, she's not married. She's an adulterer. And therefore, she will be stoned to death, no baby. Yes, I thought that would work. But no, no. Joseph, her betrothed. You see, it's impossible for anyone to have a baby unless that you've been with a man. And Joseph, your beloved Mary, she's been unfaithful to you, Joseph. She's not worthy to be called your wife, Joseph. Joseph, what will your parents think? What will your friends think, Joseph? Put her away. Move on with your life. It's far better for her to live in shame than for you to carry this shameful action for the rest of your life, Joseph. Mary is not as innocent as you think, Joseph. Oh, he was buying it. She has betrayed you. You must turn on her. Sadly, he wasn't willing to go all the way to get her stoned to death, but because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, I had convinced him to put her away quietly and divorce her. And I know God hates divorce. Yet once again, that menacing Gabriel came down as a messenger of God and told him in a dream, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Right. I can't believe he took her to be his wife. Like, all of the description. I wouldn't have. And I know people as smart as you wouldn't have done it either, right? Okay. Now what can I do? I know I would appeal to my case to Caesar. Caesar, yes. Caesar. I think it's time for a census. Count all the people that you have and tax them. Taxes. Yes, Caesar, each family should have to go back to their city of origin to register for tax. You know, Caesar, you can never have enough money, Caesar. Enough said, that worked perfectly. Because Mary, who was great with child, and I knew that this long journey would be hard on that baby. But if the journey did not work well, I know there would be no room for them to stay. They would have to stay outside in the weather. That would be the end of Mary and this problem child. I did everything I could to slow them up enough so that all the rooms would be taken. Everywhere they went, the story would be the same. I'm sorry, there is no room in the inn. Until came across yet another poor simpleton, the innkeeper. He offered a stable. You want him outside being born in the rain and the sleet, the gross, yucky stuff. No. He offers a stable, which isn't much better, actually, full of animals and stench. But it's not outside in the harsh elements in the night. But I guess it would have to do. So I couldn't actually stop it from happening. And one night, in that dirty, smelly, animal-infested cave, she gave birth. Like I said, if it was my son, he would have come into the world so differently. But let me tell you about the baby's first gifts. Not gifts, guests. I laughed until I thought I would pass out. Shepherds. Low-life shepherds. No one will believe their story. I mean, shepherds were not the most likable men, and they were smelly and dirty and just plain odd. Can you imagine them telling anyone that while they were out in their fields nearby, keeping watch at their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "Glory to the Lord," that shone all around them, and they were terrified. Terrified. See, I told you, angels, they always scare people. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." They always say, "Don't be afraid." I don't have to say, "Don't be afraid." Nobody's afraid of me. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Feeding trough. And suddenly a company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men in whom his favor rests." Seriously, God? Even I have to admit that was a nice touch. But seriously, who's going to believe it? I didn't worry too much who would believe a bunch of redneck shepherds. And you know what? I was right. No one paid any attention to a simple baby born in a stable wrapped in strips of cloth, placed in a feeding trough. Nobody paid attention. In fact, for the next several months, nothing happened. Maybe I did have the advantage here. Maybe God did mess up. There was this little incident at the temple when a man who's 113 years old and a woman who's in her late 80s were praising God because they got to see a baby. Big deal. They do that all the time. As if that would amount to anything. And after that, the baby was nothing but ordinary. Even I began to wonder what was so special about him. It was not until I heard about these rich, wise men from the East seeking a child, that's when I became worried. How did they hear about this? I mean, 1,700 miles away, they hear. Nobody's talking about it back home. Why are they talking about it way over there? Well, what could I do? I confused them, hold them up until they would never find the child. But they just kept coming. I couldn't discourage them. The harder I worked, the more persistent they became. And then came one of the greatest miracles, yes, miracles, that I have ever done in my life. I caused not just one or two, but a whole group of grown men to stop and ask for directions. Can you believe it? That is a feat that I've not been able to perform since. I let word get out to Herod that these wise men were seeking the King of the Jews. And I meant this was just too easy. Herod was putty in my hands. He became insanely jealous because they were not seeking to worship him, but a new baby. Herod, this child will overthrow you. Herod, they have brought gifts to honor the baby. They brought nothing for you. You must find out where he is so that you could destroy him. If not, he will destroy you. Make these wise men your friends. Ask them to return to tell you where the child is. And then you can go and worship him. Give them as much assistance as possible. Win them over. Get rid of the child. Well, the wise men, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to him. And then that meddlesome Gabriel warned them about Herod's plan that I had so carefully laid. And these wise men, what are they listening to angels for? All they do is scare people. And they go home without telling Herod where the baby is. Made me so angry. And I filtered my anger into Herod. And together we punished the people of the region. Someone had to pay for the slip-up of those so-called wise men. And when he realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all of the baby boys. Not just one. All of them in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, according to the date that they had told him. However, we didn't get them. Any guesses why? Gabriel. Let me tell you, one day, Gabriel and I are going to have it out. And I am going to get... Never mind. Off topic. Gabriel came and told Joseph in a dream to go to Egypt. He was still here and something had to be done. I had to destroy this baby. I made the finding of that child Herod's driving force. And until the day he died, I made this one thing his whole motive for the rest of his life. And then Herod died. And after he died, they came back and they settled in Nazareth. And I continued to work hard. He was a growing child. About somewhere when he was 12 years old, a trip was coming, a trip to Jerusalem to worship the family. And I know, I had an idea. He would get lost. He would get left behind. Everybody knows 12-year-olds, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. He would be forgotten and lost and never found. I'll separate him from his parents, and then I'll have some nasty thing happen to him. But wouldn't you know it? You know what he did? He went to the temple and he began to teach this kid. He was becoming even more of a problem. And then he grew into a man. He went into the desert. Oh, yes, the desert. I could get him there. The desert. Yes, 40 days. And every single one of them, I went to him to appeal to him. And tried to get him to sin. I tried to appeal to his human side, his hunger. But it didn't work. Testing God, that didn't work. And I offered him everything. Everything I had control over. Everything. The kingdom of this world didn't work. I could see that there was no way he was going to follow me. No way he was going to fall for it. So I would have to work against him. To convince people to turn against him, to not listen to him. He must be killed. And the man will do it. And so I began to appeal to the selfish ambitions and the power-hungry religious leaders. And it worked. He's not like you. He teaches against the teachings that you uphold. He walks among those who are not worthy of God's love. He is not God's son. Just look at him. He's actually possessed to do what he does. I personally love that one. He's possessed. For 3 years, I worked to complete my task, and then it appeared to be finished. Get this. I managed to convince one of his own followers to betray him for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Seriously, hold out for more. 30 pieces of silver. And when he did, I added a humiliating touch to the whole arrest by identifying him with a kiss. Ah, Judas. Judas played his part perfectly, exactly the way I wanted it. No, in all honesty, yeah, I did possess him to do it, but he played it perfectly. Peter's... He's so easy at times. Peter, when he saw all this happening, whips out a sword out of nowhere and hacks off Malchus's ear. It was mayhem. It was awesome. I loved it. trials in the middle of the night, waking up Pilate, annoying him. Oh, I was so happy. Pushing the religious leaders, easy peasy. They even demanded that he be put to death. Forget this. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. God's only son blaspheming. Oh, the soldiers, they beat him. They mocked him. I was almost passing out from delight. I finally had him. Even Jesus himself said, it was finished. Then he asked his father to forgive them, those who did this to him. Like I need to be forgiven. No, not me. I don't need his forgiveness. He needed my forgiveness. I had him right where I wanted him, tacked up on a cross, dying. Oh, he was going to be forgotten. I had the greatest party you could ever imagine. It lasted until that cursed morning. That wretched morning. That Sunday morning when everything fell apart. The day he rose up from the dead. Come on, that's cheating. That's not fair. He rose from the dead. He completed God's plan for salvation. How did I miss it? What's even worse is I actually helped in accomplishing the master plan of God. Yes, the day is going to come when I, like all of God's created creatures, will bow down and make a confession and confess that he is Lord. Don't make me say it. I know that it is the truth. But don't worry. I've been busy since that day. As much as I hate this wretched season, I have made some major headway lately. I've convinced many that this season is all about shopping and getting stuff. Not to mention Christmas songs about, I love this one, grandma getting run over by a reindeer. But a fat man in a red suit, it's all about him. Yes, this generation is ripe for the plucking, and I am working on a little something that I think is brilliant. Can I share it with you? Get this. I convinced parents to name their children Lucifer. Make it common. Make them love my name. I even managed to get almost 50 parents this last year to name their child God. God. People are so easy. Thankfully, Canada is filled with what I like to think of as progressive liberals. In fact, they now champion my cause. They prefer to say, Happy Holidays. None of this other word. Bring on Frosty. Bring on Rudolph, the elves, and all of the greed. Stop everyone from talking about that baby. As far as I'm concerned, that baby is just a story, not some historical fact. Because that's not for me. No, I plan on taking as many men and women, boys and girls, with me. Only the weak-minded buy into that salvation and heaven business. Not me. I'm too smart for that. You are too, aren't you? Just keep on listening to me. Keep on doing the things that feel good. Don't worry about keeping the ways of that old ancient book. In fact, don't even look at that book. It's garbage. You can never work your way into God's favor. Don't even bother trying. Just keep thinking about yourself and about what you want. Just keep on following me. Just keep on saying no to Jesus. And we will all of us, spend eternity together. I promise, it won't be a mistake. You guys with me? Coming? No. But I'm sensing that this room, you guys aren't really believing me. Is this a room full of... This is a room full of people who believe in that baby. Crud. I got another church to go to.